Well, good morning. Good morning. It is a pleasure to be back with you. You can go ahead and open up your copy of God's Word, whether digital or physical, to the book of Colossians. We will be continuing in chapter 3. Now, I want to remind you of our context, the context going all the way from 3:16 going into the chapter 4 of Colossians. Is playing off of the command to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And letting the word richly dwell within you overflows with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and all of these commands that have been given are to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the word of Christ, which dwells in us richly, overflows in worship, it also overflows and affects all the relationships that happen inside of the family. In the last several weeks, we have looked at how the word of Christ dwelling in us richly plays itself out in wives being subject to their own husbands. As husbands love their wives, and do not be embittered against them. But now that we've moved through the role of the wife and the role of the husband, we move to children. There's one thing that all of you have in common today, whether you are 1 month old or whether you are in your late 90s. I don't think we have anybody in the hundreds in here. No matter your age, each and every one of you has been a child or is currently a child. Each of one of you has parents, correct? So as we come to Colossians 3, verse 20, where it says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord," this command has applied to you. From 0 to 99, here is a call to obedience. Titled the sermon today, Obedience That Pleases Christ. Because just as we saw with submission, just as we saw with love, so too obedience is not unique to just when you are between the age of 0 months to 18 years of age. Obedience is a call that each and every one of us is called to follow. Today I want to talk about four principles of obedience that please Christ. It's important to understand what obedience is. Submission, we said, was to put oneself under. To put oneself under somebody else's authority, like a sergeant under a general. Yet here the word for obedience takes a similar course. It is under hearing or listening. To put oneself under the listening with the specific idea of doing that which is commanded. It's an active putting oneself under to listen carefully so as to do exactly what is instructed. The idea of listening to understand and do, to follow instructions and commands. Now I'm going to give you a little thing that I repeated to my children over and over. In fact, they could probably repeat it for you right now on command. With regards to what is obedience, it always convicts my own heart because it doesn't just apply to children. It applies to me in my obedience to Christ. Obedience is all the way, right away, with a happy heart. It's not always easy to do obedience all the way. If it's not all the way, it's sin. It's not easy to do it right away. It's easy to push it off. But I must say the hardest of those is to do it with a right attitude and a right heart. But, as Thomas A. Kempis rightly noted, it has gospel implications. Thomas A. Kempis said the following, he said, Instant obedience is the only kind of obedience there is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Whoever strives to withdraw from obedience withdraws from grace. The first principle that I want us to focus on today is that all of us are called to obey. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, Christ speaking, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. In other words, if you love Christ, you obey Christ. In John 15, 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Note the promise there. Note the connection. Your obedience to Christ equals your assurance of salvation, which is pictured by whom? Whose example? Christ's obedience to the Father. If we go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 and 14, Moses preaching his set of sermons on Mount Nebo, reminding the people before he is going to pass away, the law says this: it shall come about if you listen obediently to my commandments, God says, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that he will give you, that he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and the late rains, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. Each and every one of us is called to obey. Called to obey God, to put God first. Yet, as I've stated in my three principles, all the way, right away, with a happy heart, obedience is not merely external. We can see this in Colossians, right? Be obedient to your parents. Note here it says, in all things. Sorry, kids, there's no escape hatch. It's not just when your parents make sense. It's not just when you want to obey your parents. It's not just when you feel like you want to obey your parents. It is in all things. All means all. Things is pretty broad. Obedience in all things. But what does it say? For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. The Lord desires that you do what is right in obedience to your parents for his sake, in the sphere of who Christ is. To be a witness for Christ comes out not just in your obedience to governors, not just in your obedience to masters, but in obedience to your parents. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 6. There's an expansion of this call here. It says, children, Ephesians 6 verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Notice it calls for obedience and then it calls for what? Honor. Right? It calls for honor. Well, this word for honor, it means to give weight to. Think of it this way. You kind of have to understand. In old days, you wanted to sell your carrots or your barley or your oats. What did you do? You went and you put them on a scale. And then you put weights to figure out how much. And then you would weigh out an equivalent amount of silver or gold. This is to prize, to treat as valuable, to treat with great honor your parents. Not only are you called to obey them, but you are called to treat them as of great value and worth. Just as we would a beautiful piece of china. We're called as children to treat our parents, father and mother, with a respect and an honor that is not merely external compliance, but internal valuing. I know the question is going to come to your mind, so I'll just ask it right out. Oh, Pastor Daniel, this sounds all well and good, but you don't know my dad. Oh, Pastor Daniel, you don't know my mom. She's a terror. She's unreasonable. She's bossy. She's unkind. She's unloving. Or you don't know my dad. He's got a temper. He's angry. He's grumpy. He can never be pleased. Oh, Pastor, is God calling me to obey bad authority? The answer is yes. I want us to remind us of a few things. Number one, all authority is what? Delegated from God, is it not? It comes from God. So we are obeying God when we obey delegated authority. Remember that the attitude we're called to have doesn't change based on the sins of other people. Remember that we have an example in Christ who endured suffering and hardship, endured injustice. Doing what? Entrusting himself to God the Father. Yet, because all authority is from God, Acts 5:29 makes it very specific, doesn't it? If, and only if, your parents' commands directly contradict God's word, if they tell you to do something which God's word says do not do, at that point, what do you need to do? You need to be like the disciples who said, when told not to preach anymore, I'm sorry, I must obey God rather than men. Now let me give a warning here, because a lot of people would see, okay, here's a bad command from my parents, maybe even a sinful command. And they think, yes, I don't have to follow it. I can have an angry heart, a rebellious heart. I can tell them to take that command and go pound sand. No. Your attitude in the midst of even doing that must be a heart that is filled with the fruits of the Spirit. It must be a heart which is saddened that it has come to this point that you must say, no, I need to follow my Savior. If you're not careful, you'll instead have a heart of flesh, which is natural, right? Especially for you teenagers out there that are getting to the point where you know a lot of stuff and you want freedom. It's easy to have that rebellious heart, right? That heart that all of us has that rebels against anything that tells us to not do what we want to do. A heart that works out of the flesh is angry and bitter and slanderous and gossipy. But oh, the problems that come if we foster that heart. Augustine said the following, if you are suffering from a bad man's injustice, forgive him, lest there be two bad men. Brothers and sisters, obedience is for all of us. We're all called to obey. Obedience must be from the heart. But I also want to focus here that disobedience brings a curse. Disobedience brings a curse. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. I want you to see how seriously God takes disobedience. We think it's just a little thing not to obey our parents. Maybe they ask us to clean our room and we just don't want to. Maybe they tell us to be in at a certain time and, well, we just don't want to. Romans chapter 1, Start in verse 18, and we're going to skip over to 28. It's a summation of God's wrath. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them." If you wanted to, you could read on down through verse 27, and you'll see that God gave them over to a depraved mind. And then it rolls into homosexuality, which God abhors. And then we get to verse 28. "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper." Look at this list. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil." What does it say next? "Disobedient to parents. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." Oh, young people here at New Hope, be very wary of the people you keep as friends. Bad company corrupts good morals, and I guarantee anyone that heartily gives approval to your disobedience of that which you know is right is a horrible, terrible thing. They are evidencing the realities of a heart which is given over to being enemies of God, given over by God and hardened towards God. Flip over to 2 Timothy. You know times are getting bad. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." Seems a little odd, doesn't it? That sin that we see as such a small thing, to disobey parents. God lists, in lists of individuals who God has given over to sin. He puts it in lists of what the end times look like. It plays out in this way. Yet we also need to note, when God ordered His nation, He gave many, many strict orders. Deuteronomy 21, 18 and 19. Actually, 18 through 21. "If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother." Notice the words that come together with it. Stubborn and rebellious. Says son, it could just as well say daughter. What is to be done? "And when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them. Then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all of Israel will hear of it and fear. Oh, how lightly we take following the instructions of the Lord. Note here that the son's a little bit older because he's a glutton and he's a drunkard. He's not just talking about, you know, toddlers or 8, 9, 10-year-olds. We're talking about someone who is in their teens to 20s. Leviticus 29, if there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him. Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagle will eat it. God takes sin seriously. Obedience to parents is a big deal, not because your parents are great, but because God is. In 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. decided to fly a small plane from New York to Massachusetts for a wedding. He had a pilot's license, but he didn't have a license that allowed him to fly by instruments only. His time got pushed off, and it was nighttime. He would be flying over water, and he still decided to take off. He thought he knew what was best. He didn't obey the laws that governed how he should fly or when he should fly. He thought he knew better. He took off and the plane ended up crashing. The people who investigated said by their determination, he had a disorientation caused by flying over water at night without landmarks, mistaking light bouncing off the water as up. Kennedy's lack of experience may well have led him to trust what he thought he was seeing more than what his instrument panel was telling him. Death was the result for his disobedience. Each and every one of us can fall trapped to the same sin. Teenagers here today, you are more prone to it. The sin of pride, to think that you know more than God who has told you to obey your parents, that you know more than your parents and can take things into your own hands. It can lead to physical death. Note the curse that comes with disobedience. We are all called to obey. We're all called to obey from the heart. Disobedience brings a curse, but finally, obedience brings a blessing. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. Honor your father and mother, verse 2, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. There is a purpose for the command. It's interesting that out of the Ten Commandments, very rarely does God actually give you a reason for His command. Yet if you go to Exodus 20:12, when He states this, as Ephesians 6, verse 2 and 3 states, honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord thy God gives you, God explains that there is a benefit to obedience to parents. Specifically, that there is a blessing in well-being and a blessing in long living. That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Children, there is great protection in choosing to obey what God has called you to do in obeying your parents. Even the worst parent ever still knows more than you do. Even if you don't understand the command, trust God. I want you to listen to the wisest man on earth. If you want to flip over there, you can flip over to Proverbs. We're going to walk through just a few different verses. I want to compare and contrast this. So Proverbs chapter 1. Here's Solomon talking to his own son from the wisdom he's learned and been given from God. Wisest man who ever lived apart from Christ, who lived the most foolish of life, comes to teach his son what not to do and what to do, and what does he say? Proverbs 1, 8, and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are graceful wreaths to your head and ornaments around your neck. What's he saying? Most of you guys don't really wear wreaths around your, on your head or ornaments around your neck. Says the instructions and the teachings of your parents are like victory prizes. They're like first place medals in the Olympics. They're something that bring great honor, great acclaim, great prize. Flip over to Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. It's interesting that Solomon adds here peace. They will bring peace to you. Skip down to verse 21 of chapter 3. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and an adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Over to chapter 4. Take hold of instruction, verse 13. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. My son, observe the commandments of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light, and reproof for discipline are the way of life. Proverbs chapter 10. Verse 17, he is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. Chapter 12, verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. I know there are a few chuckles, it's okay. In the truest form of the word, there is no more foolish or stupid thing that you can do than to heed discipline and reproof. Proverbs 19:16, finally. He who keeps the commandments keeps his soul, but he who is careless of conduct will die. I hope that you understand and you see here that there's a picture being played out. This idea of life and death. Obedience and disobedience. Actually, I should switch that. Obedience and disobedience. Life, death. They go together. And so when we come to a command that says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, there's a reason behind it. There's a desire that you not experience the curse of disobedience. We wanted to go all the way back to the garden. What do we have? We have a curse that's caused all death, billions upon billions of people, from one act of disobedience. A disobedience to a command that God had given. Those same consequences can fall to us when we choose not to obey and honor our parents. In the Middle East, there's a way that proper horses are to be trained. The trainer requires absolute obedience of the horse, and the way in which they test the absolute obedience of the horse after training is to not give the horse water for multiple days, so that the thirst of this horse is so strong within it that when they release it near water, what happens? The horse smells it. Its whole body quivers with anticipation. It begins to go for the water, and just before it's going to plunge its head into the water, what does the trainer do? He blows a whistle, which tells that horse, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to come. I'm supposed to stand by my trainer, my master. They know that the training's perfect when that horse will deny its desires and its selfish urges to obey its master. And it will go and it will stand there, though it is thirsty, though it is quivering, though it is tired, though it wants nothing more than to drink. It trusts its master knows better. It might seem extreme, but our master is God. Though we don't understand, though we thirst, though we crave for many things, do we trust that our master knows best? God doesn't just call us to obey his authority, but his delegated authority. Are we willing to trust that the God who has all power, who knows all things, who loves us with a love we cannot even comprehend, and who sovereignly ordains all things in our life to bring them into conformity with his will not do what's best for us, does not know what's best for us, is not lovingly giving us what is best? There's a second statement I would tell my children. It comes from the principles of Scripture. Obedience is always what is best for you. Disobedience is always what is worse. Oh, how sin promises joy, pleasure, wealth, fun, stardom, fame, fulfillment, possession, position. But children, adults know this or should know this more than you. What does sin produce? Shame, guilt, loss, loathing, hardship, and death. If we don't learn to ignore the promises of sin and listen to our master's voice, we will face all of them. We'll face the shame, the guilt, the loss, the loathing, the hardship, the death that disobedience brings. Children, teenagers, young adults, more senior saints, people in your middle age. We live in a country that loves independence. We have a day named after it, Independence. We have a whole Bill of Rights that tell us these are your rights. Those go in contradiction to obeying your parents quite often. You often want your own independence, so you do not honor your parents. And I don't care if you're 90 years old, if your parents are still alive, they deserve a weighty value in your heart. If you're married, no, you're not called to obey them as if they were your commander. But boy, I sure would seek their wisdom and treat them with a weighty value. If you are unmarried and living in your parents' household, obedience is what's called for. Obey God by obeying your parents. There is blessing to be had. There is reward to be gained. You are not an individual who was spoke into existence out of nothingness. God has placed you in a prodigy, in a line of people. In his grace and by His sovereign hand, He has caused you to be the son or the daughter of two people. And He's called you to a position of obedience. The question is, how are we doing? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, the foolishness that rules our souls all too often. Lord, we first and foremost think that we know more than You and that we know what's best. And so we run to sin and disobey You and reap the consequences. Lord, at the same time, often it is in the delegated authorities of the world where we find it even more difficult to obey You. Lord, we choose to make excuses because of sinful leaders who are over us, that we can have hearts which practice sin, which make us into the evil that we so loathe. Oh Lord, help us to walk with You in trust, understanding that You know what's best, that You will protect us, You will guide us, You will bring about the blessing that You have promised. Oh Lord, may we be like that horse that denies our selfish earthly desires to obey our all-good, all-perfect, all-holy, all-glorious, all-powerful Master who calls us to what is best. In Jesus' name, amen.